knowledge fight.
Dan and Jordan, I am sweating.
KnowledgeFight.com.
It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight.
I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, worship at the altar of Selene, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan?
Jordan.
Quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today, buddy?
Well, my bright spot today, Jordan, is that over this weekend, my parents were visiting, and so we had a very nice time going around.
Wonderful.
Looking at open houses and what have you. Getting a peek into other people's lives.
Oh,
seeing their homes.
As everybody knows, the most fun behavior.
Went to one place and I decided that the residents of that home were owl perverts.
Owl perverts?
I don't know. There were just owls everywhere.
Oh, there were just owls everywhere?
Yeah. So fucking owl creeps.
God damn. That's
Moloch worshippers.
Mm.
But yeah, it was a nice time. It's always nice to see the parents, and they were on their way up north. My dad's got a guy that he knows from college, like a buddy who's also in the academia. Who's,
sure.
He was going to do a lecture for that fella up in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it was nice. It was a good time.
Good.
Yeah. So between that and, I don't know, I'm going to blame it my birthday on it that we're putting this episode out.
Sure,
late.
That sounds good.
Know, like,
that sounds good to me.
But the reality of that isn't quite true. I think I could have forced an episode through.
Okay.
Despite, like, my parents being in town, because I did have some time to work on stuff.
Sure.
But things just didn't come together with some of the materials I was working with.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just gonna blame it on all that stuff.
I think that's actually... I understand the idea of being like, I could have powered through.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is you wouldn't have had to try to power through if it weren't for those things. So, yes, it is because of those things that you did not have an episode ready.
Well, see,
I rest my case, Your Honor.
Well, see, now we get to an interesting point where,
uh-huh.
You know, yeah, my parents did instill in me this need to push through. Just go.
Sure,
just,
sure.
Just, you know, you're feeling sick. Push
no,
through, go to
say
school.
No. You yeah. can say no.
Yeah. So maybe it is their fault in some way that I feel bad that we didn't have an episode.
Not only is it their fault we didn't have an episode,
spiritually,
it is their fault you feel bad about not having an episode.
But it was nice to see them. And
of course.
Always fun.
What are you going to do? Parents, right?
So what's your bright spot?
I have two. I have a bright spot and a jeer. My Ooh. Bright spot, of course, is it's your birthday.
Hey, thank
I'm,
you.
I'm always happy, and it's nice. It's nice to have a birthday, just because I like to think about all the stuff that we've been through and
sure.
all this. Man, I love you, buddy. I
love you too, man. This is the last birthday where I get to say I'm pushing 40.
That is true.
Next year I will be 40.
Oh man, I have. It's hard to believe you're about to be 40.
Yeah, it is. You know, this is 40. Thank God that movie came out so we can just make a joke about
it. So we can just move on after somebody says this is 40.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, I was reflecting on that a little bit too while we were going to look at open houses, because,
mm-hmm.
you know, 6 years ago or, you know, whatever, when we started this show, the prospect of that even being something you would do not as a joke.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I'm not necessarily in a position where it would be the easiest thing in the world to buy a house,
sure,
or
sure,
something.
Sure, sure.
But it's not as much of a joke as it would have been years back.
Yeah.
And you know, that gives you an opportunity to reflect on that, this time and the it's amazing. I'm very grateful.
Yeah. The and distance. So, you know, when we started this, I was in my 20s, buddy. I was in my 20s. Crazy. Bananas.
Late 20s.
Late 20s.
Yeah.
I was 29. But that's not the point.
29 in 11 months.
I was 29 and almost 30. And then my jeer, of course, is cake. The band Cake.
Oh, wow.
My wife started using Satan Is My Motor as her alarm clock.
Yeah, you mentioned this.
It's the devil. It's the devil. You know, everybody likes Cake. I even like Cake for the simple reason that the words are slow, the lyrics are enunciated clearly, every song is a perfect sing-along. And if that happens in the morning, the rest of my day is filled with occasionally just a nonstop Satan is my, and it makes me so mad. Yeah. Drives me insane.
She needs to switch it up.
She needs to switch it up.
Go
it's got
to
change.
Like commissioning a symphony in C.
No!
That's a good way to wake up.
No more Cake!
You'll be an Austrian nobleman.
Lord, it's a whole day. It's a whole day.
What if she chose a Cake song you don't like?
Are there Cake songs you don't like?
Plenty. Not this. I mean, most of the singles are all right.
No, of course.
But yeah, there's some album cuts that are probably
for sure.
not
for
very
sure.
good.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that would solve the problem.
Or go with like live. Use the band live.
Okay.
Yeah. Like Run to the Water. Wake up to that. It's triumphant. It'll get you out of bed, and you don't have to worry about not liking it because you probably don't like it anyway.
That's not my thing. Is you start with a quiet
song.
Run
to the water.
You start with a quiet song that builds up, so your brain hears it before you fully wake up. Then about a minute or two in the song, you get something good.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I love using Broken Social Scene's Pacific theme to wake up.
Okay,
it's just real good. Yeah.
I would go with Lives, They
and
Stood
no
Up
lyrics.
For Love, then.
Fair. Fair point.
Lightning Crashes? That's kind of mellow at the beginning. I'm just trying to think of other Live songs.
I was going
to
say,
now.
You're just going through Live songs, and I wasn't even sure if they were the ones who did Lightning Crashes.
Yeah.
An old mother dies. Lightning Crash.
That was a hit.
That was a hit.
Huge hit.
Man, weird times the past.
Song of the summer, Lightning Crash.
Foreign country the past is.
So, Jordan, today.
Yes.
So, I was very much intending to get a modern day episode together, and I spent a fair amount of time going down that road, but I ran into an issue where I was just like, this isn't an episode. I was just like, I don't know. And so, I threw out what I had planned, and I'm like, it's my birthday weekend. I don't give a fuck. I'm staying in the past. So I was going to do a 2004 episode, and that is what we're doing.
Okay.
We're going to be talking about February 9th, 2004.
All right.
Unfortunately, it's not a pleasant time.
Oh, great.
This is very racist.
Great.
This is an incredibly racist episode. So, happy birthday to
happy
me,
happy birthday, Dan.
We'll get down to business
this
on this.
This is 40, am I right?
Yeah. Before we get down to business on all of this, though, let's say hello to some new wonks.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So first, to JJ, you kick like a mule and bite like a crocodile from Owen. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, happy birthday wish to Jacob. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, Matt in Ottawa says, Nazi truckers, fuck off. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, Bobby Barnes. Thank you so much, media star. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, Jake the Sneaky Snake. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
And I was a hard man till one night Bangkok. They forgot the one night in Bangkok.
Right.
But anyway, you're still a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Bangkok. Oriental City, but the city don't know what the city is getting.
Oh,
creme
no.
Of the creme of the chess world and a show.
We're having a day.
You're Brenna.
This is what happens when we record in the mornings.
Yep. It's tough.
Mm-hmm.
So, February 9th, 2004.
All right.
This, I don't know what I was expecting, honestly.
Pre-Valentine's Day?
Sure.
Kind of, you know, telling people about ways to celebrate their significant others?
You know what? It is weird. As I was listening to this, it did dawn on me that this is before Valentine's Day. I think it was just because I was trying to find anything to think of other than abject racism.
That's what came to my mind.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, oh, this is how Alex feels love, I guess.
I mean, if you're trying to avoid racism, we can't bring up Black History Month, now can we?
Nope.
Nope.
So, Alex has a string at this period of time, in 2004, at the beginning of it, he's talking constantly to these border militia folks.
Mm-hmm.
And so he has another one of these fellows coming on.
Great.
We've got Casey Nethercott, the owner of the ranch in southern Arizona. who has been in the middle of multiple attacks by Mexican troops that have been written up in the Associated Press. They have apprehended a lot of illegal aliens on their property. He was arrested by the FBI, and he's now been released. They tried to force him to sign confessions. Just wait until you hear the details of this in the middle of the next hour. We've also got a bunch of other guests who are lining up.
No, just Paul Joseph Watson. Yeah. But none of that stuff is accurate.
I was going to say.
Except that he owns a ranch.
Yeah, that one makes sense.
And he doesn't for long. So Casey Nethercott is not the victim that Alex is making him out to be. He's a felon and dangerous border vigilante who has on multiple occasions detained people illegally.
You can't do that.
In one instance, it was two high school students who were going home from a football game. In the most recent case, he illegally detained two Salvadorian immigrants who he assaulted. They successfully sued him and were awarded his ranch in lieu of monetary payment.
Nice.
We talked about that case recently because another guy from the organization Casey is a part of was a guest. That was a guy named Jack Foote from the group Ranch Rescue.
Right. I recall because we made Foot Clan jokes.
That's correct.
Yes.
In an upsetting turn of events, Casey went missing on September 1st, 2017, and hasn't been seen since.
Sure.
He had left his vehicle and belongings, including his diabetes medication, behind, so this doesn't look like a good situation. I have no idea what's going on there, like in the present day.
Sure.
But whatever the case is, it doesn't change that in 2004, Casey was a dangerous armed felon who believed that he could take the law into his own hands to dispense vigilante justice against immigrants and high school students he probably thought were immigrants.
I feel like if you, quote, illegally detain high school students, you have kidnapped. You are a kidnapper. At that point,
it is weird. I wasn't able to find like specific like a full explanation of what went down there.
Yeah,
which leads me to believe that he didn't do time for it,
right?
But
boy, I mean, of all the things to do time for, that we have so many people in prison for marijuana possession, and this guy who kidnaps people regularly.
Hey, misunderstanding.
That's not
it's
how
a
it
misunderstanding.
Works. No, that's not how it works.
It shouldn't be. So we got some headlines.
Sure.
Shit was hot in 2004. Okay. A lot of stuff going on.
Okay.
In the meantime, you knew it would come to the United States. A restriction on how many children you can have. The
sure.
government has been saying they want to do it for a while. Of course, if you're a third world internal population, you'll be given waivers, but for everybody else, there'll be restrictions. We'll be getting into that. Also, you may have heard of this. U.S. soccer team hears Usama chants in Mexico during the Star-Spangled Banner. And I want to point out these
funny.
Are the people that Bush wants to allow into the country, the people he wants to legalize, the people whose government says the Southwest belongs to them. Chanting Usama, Usama, Usama. So the radical Mexicans, Usama bin Laden and George Bush together in their hate of American national sovereignty.
That's right. A little bit of a leap.
All right. Okay.
We'll talk about that thing that's apparently trying to restrict white children
sure.
limits on how many white babies can be born.
Something about the replacement of...
We'll get to that a little bit later.
Yeah.
But for now, about this soccer situation.
I need to know more about this.
So this was after the U.S. team beat Canada in a 1,500-seat arena. I can find no indication of how many people were actually chanting Osama, but I suspect it was kind of a smallish group. And that's because it happened again at the USA's next match.
Okay.
That was, according to reporting at that time, there were a couple dozen fans that were chanting Osama at the U.S. team after they lost to Mexico.
Uh-huh.
That was the next match that happens like in a few days from
sure,
this point.
Sure.
Most of the rest of the audience was just booing the U.S. team since the U.S. team had beat Mexico in the 2002 World Cup and feelings were a bit raw.
Right.
Chanting Osama is a bit tasteless, but it's not outside the realm of things that people might do at a soccer match.
Yeah.
Like people fight. Pretty regularly.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a little wild.
People
take it quite seriously.
Football is the game. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you.
Plus, it was a few dozen people at that game that was at a stadium that's supposed to fit 55,000 people, but attendance estimates were at 60,000.
Okay.
So, like, it was overfilled to capacity.
Right.
It was a couple dozen people out of
60,000 people, a couple of dozen started chanting Osama.
It's not maybe the biggest deal in the world.
And everybody around them was kind of like, I am confused. You're referencing bin Laden, right? There's a better chant here.
Probably.
Yeah.
So these people are kind of being assholes, but I don't think it's indicative of the whole crowd, nor of Mexican people as a group, like Alex seems to think.
Nope.
Alex is making that leap because his editorial position is to use whatever imagery he can to demonize immigrants, particularly those entering from the southern border, and this allows him to tie all Mexican folk to Osama bin Laden.
Yeah.
What?
I've thought, here's my pitch, all right? After we killed him, now we have to replace USA chants with Osama chants because we won, right? I feel like that's the way. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
it's like Shang Tsung rules. All right. We took his soul after we defeated him.
Right.
And now
I get the theme of what you're saying. Yeah. But like, I think after the Civil War, people didn't chant Confederacy.
That's a good point.
I think that your thinking is flawed on this.
I could be.
So, I don't know if people can hear beeping in the background, but if they can, it's because there's some construction outside.
Yep.
So enjoy that little bit of flavor of spice of life, as they say. You could probably get the vibe from that clip that we might be in for some anti-Mexico business.
Yeah.
And boy, are we. This is wild.
Just think about this. Bush supports total blanket amnesty, despite the fact that it's unconstitutional, that the majority of voters are against it. And Bush supports a country, a people, who a large portion of them and the government itself say openly that they are going to kill all the white people, kill us. They won't even allow a 4th of July parade in San Diego or L.A. We got video of them beating Hispanics, blacks, whites, veterans with 2x4s. The police stand by and let it happen. This has been going on 3 separate times in the last 6 years. We have video of it. But again, it's not a national news story. Can you imagine if a group of white people went to a type of Mexican get-together?
I can read you a story about it.
2x4s. You never hear the end of it. But it's okay when they do it. I'm sick of Mexican food restaurants with images of Aztecs cutting white people's hearts out. I'm sick of it.
That's got to be tough.
Is that a thing?
I feel bad for him going to all these Mexican food restaurants where he's bombarded with pictures of Aztecs killing white people.
It's a very strange thing.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's part of where football came from, right? You know, the Aztecs chopped off the heads and they kicked it. Isn't that the story? I don't know.
I'm not sure. You mean soccer?
Yeah.
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 We're in America.
Sorry.
Hey.
I mean, if we're referencing, whatever.
I don't know.
I call it American football.
I'm not sure I pay enough attention to decor in restaurants, nor would I necessarily feel all that sensitive about it, but I guess Alex is a whiny little titty baby.
I just find it strange that you would decorate a restaurant with so many beheadings.
Right, and like arrows pointing to the victims. It's like white person.
White person for sure. Straight up. I know they were in Mexico for a while, so they had a tan, so maybe you didn't know they were white, but guess what? Yeah. Totally white.
Classic Alex Jones meaningless complaint.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Bush was absolutely not in favor of blanket amnesty, and nothing he ever did while in office came close to such a policy. White nationalists call any kind of making immigration or pleading refugee status the same as blanket amnesty because, in reality, they want no non-white immigration. Alex is essentially on the same page as that, but his public brand doesn't really allow him to argue that way, so this is what you get. Neither Mexico's government nor a majority of their population want to kill white people. I've not seen any of this alleged footage of the 4th of July parades being attacked, but if this is a real thing, I would assume that it's wildly out of context and the violence is about something else entirely different than Mexican people being mad at U.S. patriotism.
Yeah.
The purpose of this storyline is to ram into the audience's head that non-whites are committing violent crimes against white people, and because they're not white, the media covers it up. This is literally the same rhetoric that the Council of Conservative Citizens promoted, which Dylann Roof cited as the inspiration for his mass murder at the Black Church. Alex is swimming in those exact same waters here. There's no distinguishing between them. They're the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, of all the things that are theoretically covered up, at best, I would say that Trump's Muslim ban is about as close to people not talking about it. Because after January 6th, people were like, there's our bigger problem. But the fact that at the beginning it was about a blanket racist ban of non-white people coming into the country. They got what they fucking wanted. even though it was unconstitutional.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was, that's what they've wanted the entire time, a blanket ban.
Mm-hmm.
And Trump did that. And now we're just like, you know.
But it didn't stand.
No. Well, I mean, a lot of it did. It didn't all stand because it was obviously racist.
Yeah.
But, you know, he was still allowed to ban a bunch of guns.
Well, I think that, you know, limiting immigration from some countries may be less racist than what was intended.
Right.
I'm not saying it's, you know, the way things went was cool.
Right.
Or anything.
Right.
But it didn't stand in its original form where the intent was much clearer.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
But yeah. You make a fair point.
Yeah.
So Alex is mad at Mecha because he's complaining about Mexican related stuff.
Sure.
And then Alex's wife, it turns out, is trilingual.
Student group stands by Reconquista plan. Mecha won't disavow document calling for recapture of Southwest. A Latino student group that drew attention during the California gubernatorial campaign of Cruz Bustamante says it will not disavow a founding document outlining the aim of recapturing the southwestern United States from Mexico. Yeah, on some of their websites, they got images of dead white people and how they're going to kill us. And responding to an allegation of racism, an allegation, members of Mecha chapter at the University of California at Los Angeles showed up in force at an undergraduate student government meeting Tuesday to protest the campus student paper, the UCLA reported. The GOP student group, UCLA Bruin Republicans, have challenged Mecha and denounced a founding document, El Plan de Aztlán, which they assert promotes violence and damages the organization's reputation as community servants. The text calls for the return of the U.S. Southwest to Mexico. Their members said they do not follow the particular ideology. That's a total lie. My wife speaks French, Spanish, Italian, and just a couple of weeks ago we were in a convenience store, and there's two Mexicans, one at the counter, one buying something, one running the counter, and it's speaking in Spanish, saying, yeah, I don't like speaking English. I don't like that, you know, that dumb language. I don't like whites. They're sitting there laughing at us. I'm just standing with my wife. I mean, you know, oh, but that's cute and acceptable and funny. It's real funny. It's so sick, folks. So incredibly, completely out of control and disgusting.
As is the case with pretty much all of Alex's stories, I don't believe this happened.
Nope.
But if it did, I still struggle to see how it's a meaningful anecdote to inject here. Alex is trying to assert that Mecha, a Hispanic student organization, follows the ideology of this Aztlán document, which seeks to recapture the Southwest. How does him and his wife overhearing a guy say that he doesn't like English and white people help make that point? It doesn't. But it probably feels like it does to the audience, because Alex's complaint about Mecha isn't the point. There's something behind that story that is the more important message Alex is trying to get to the audience, which is that Mexican people, and non-whites in general, are a dangerous threat to you. Alex doesn't feel the need to defend his assertion that this group that follows the Aztlán plan, that's just taken as proven because he said it. When Alex adds the anecdote about his wife at the convenience store, what he's doing is seeking to reinforce the feeling that Mexican people are a threat to you and secretly hate you. When they think you can't understand what they're saying, they speak of their hate of white people in Spanish. When you look at it through this lens and with this understanding, it makes total sense why this is the story Alex's mind goes to when he's trying to make his point here. It makes no sense if it's an attempt to prove his Mecha point, but it's exactly what you'd do if you're trying to heighten the racist fears that you're trying to stoke. This Aztlán document, it was drafted by the First National Chicano Youth Liberation Conference in 1969, and there's a fair amount of language in it that does encourage Chicano nationalism and reclaiming the land of their forefathers. Groups like Mecha don't expressly follow this document, though the A in Mecha does stand for Aztlán, but that's not weird since it's a fabled ancestral homeland of Aztec people.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. It's a little bit of an edge case, I think.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, his point of bringing up these two unrelated examples is to remind you that it's all Mexican people.
Right.
You know, it doesn't matter if they're related because they're all talking to each other.
Totally.
Yeah.
It could just be at a convenience store, just a customer and the person there.
Furthermore, he does not know if they are Mexican. If they are just speaking Spanish, they could belong to most of the world.
But you don't know that because his wife might have overheard them say, haha, we are Mexican.
Yeah, that makes sense. Know? Like, he would be...
There's so many details that he could add to this just by making more stuff up.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it.
Also, like, just on a really basic level, what an awful conversation for two people to have. Not like an awful, like morally awful, just
no.
Why would you have that conversation?
What are we doing?
Hi, I would like to pay for my gummy bears. Hey, you know what? I hate English.
Oh, man, totally. I also hate the whites.
Seems silly. I don't think it happened.
Yeah, doubtful.
So white people, though.
Sure.
Fucking under attack, man.
I doubt it.
It's a disaster.
Really
it's
doubt it. No.
Continuing with the anti-white crusade going on worldwide. White people didn't invent slavery. Slavery was,
we mastered
you can debate it.
Thank you.
Invented by the Egyptians, the Babylonians, and some forms of it were going on in Asia. Some of the archaeological record shows even earlier than slavery was developed in the Mediterranean region.
So what?
So white people are better because we didn't do it first. So it's okay that we did it. First off, it's okay because everybody's doing it. And second, it's we're the ones who stopped it, too. Like, God stopped Egypt's slavery program.
I don't get...
White people stopped America's slavery program.
I don't get the rebuttal to, like, our country has a shame... stain, let's say, because of our history of slavery and the racist systems that were enacted in the aftermath of slavery, the way that people were kept out of their ability to participate in the economy and were attacked.
Yep.
Generational wealth was
totally,
completely eliminated, and those ripples still exist until the present day.
For sure.
I don't understand how a rebuttal to something like that is, we didn't come up with it.
It wasn't, I didn't start it.
Doesn't mean anything.
No, I didn't start it. It was just going along.
Other countries do have other relationships historically with slavery, and that is for them to deal with as well.
Yeah.
And some countries have. Some countries have had sort of a reckoning with that, and I think it's probably better for it. One of the reasons I think our country has such a difficulty with that history is that we're, you know, a lot of times have been in pretty serious denial about it. And, I think it hinders the ability to move into the future better.
Yeah, I mean, the fundamental colonialism... The colonialist mindset behind the entirety of all of that has not at all gone away. Just even considering the shit that American groups get up to in fucking Africa, trying to colonialize Africa with their religion and with their culture and all of that shit. It's and also, you know, we didn't invent colonialism, so it's okay.
It's fine.
What?
Cool.
Yeah, totally cool. Hey. It was Shi Huangdi's fault, really, when he unified China.
Uh-huh.
That's colonialism right there.
Well, sure. I killed that guy.
Yeah.
I didn't invent murder.
No, I didn't.
What?
So it's okay.
Such a weird way to think.
Yeah.
So Alex does bring up Africa now, does get into some white people being under attack in Africa. And this is a little bit gross. He talks about some... sexual assault, rape type stuff in Africa. And I wouldn't play this necessarily, but there's a point to it.
And then we have these articles here, and boy, folks, I mean, to look at what's happening in Africa to whites is just horrible. Rape gangs target whites. Racial violence surges in Zimbabwe. I love how Africa said, be nice, be liberal, you know, don't be domineering and controlling, and so whites are like, okay, we will. And I'm not defending colonialism or what it did, but it was
you
wonderful
literally
compared
are.
To what the Africans are now doing to each other. And
wild.
So they said, here, you take the machine guns. We'll be nice. And, well, the fun has just begun.
So to be entirely clear up front, there was some and has been some fairly reliable reporting that there were gangs in Zimbabwe that were using threats of rape as a tool in robberies and in some cases following through with it. It is claimed by outlets like WorldNet Daily that these attacks were only targeted at whites, but I don't think that there's a good reason to trust them, and it's unclear to me if this was actually the case. These people who were committing these acts are horrible and should face the full punishment available under the law, full stop.
Yeah.
What I want to talk about, however, is the way that Alex is using this story to claim that things were better back when Zimbabwe was Rhodesia. Back when the country was under a brutal apartheid system. This is not a position that takes the problem that he's pretending to cover seriously. Returning to a genocidal regime is not the solution to crime, unless you really believe that the apartheid state and all its human rights abuses were for the greater good. In order for Alex to really believe what he's saying, he needs to think that the black population of Rhodesia needed to be kept in line by what amounted to a very severe police state, which he shouldn't believe.
Yeah, I mean,
based on every other thing he claims to believe, he shouldn't support that.
If I thought he could read, that would make me believe that a white man's burden is his Bible. Mm. Like, oh, Kipling knew exactly what was right. You know, like, it's fucked the fuck up.
It
ultimately comes back to that colonialist mindset of these people need to be civilized.
Yeah.
The way that I am.
Well, I actually think that it's slightly different.
Mm.
It's partially that, but also I think for Alex, there might even be an element of civilizing is not possible, so repression must be...
Sure, sure.
Must be the system that's in place.
Right. It's the slave Bible, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
great. It's good stuff. America's great.
It's not surprising.
Osama! I'm sorry. Is that not good?
look, it was just one host of the podcast.
There are 60,000 people in this room.
This room is filled to capacity. I mean, it's not surprising in as much as we've heard stuff like that from Alex before, but yeah. It's still surprising it's shocking to hear anytime he's like, well, things were better under apartheid.
I mean, if you can't understand apartheid equals bad, then we're out.
But and if you don't understand the acts that were being carried out under that system.
Willfully deny the acts that were being carried out under that system.
It's
Holocaust denier style.
Mm-hmm.
People are exaggerating. It was actually really great for 99% of the whites.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's more trouble in countries with a history of apartheid.
Sure,
apparently.
Sure.
White slaughter in South Africa. Plans made to conduct campaign of genocide after Mandela's death. While former South African President Nelson Mandela, 85, scoffs at rumors of his ill health, plans are being made by the nation's Communist Party to slaughter all whites in the country upon his death. Well, it's already happening.
Whoa.
Sure.
Did you hear about that?
I did not. I didn't know that all whites were slaughtered.
Yeah. You may or may not be surprised to hear this, but the only place I could find a link to this article that Alex is reporting on was on Stormfront, the neo-Nazi white supremacist message board.
Who would have guessed?
It's originally from WorldNet Daily, but they don't have it up anymore because it's intensely stupid shit. As the story goes, a ton of very not made up anonymous sources told WorldNet Daily that there was a plan for a kill off of all the white people in South Africa after Mandela died. It seems that Mandela being alive was the only thing that was keeping everything together, and when he was gone, it was genocide time.
Ah, that dumb peacenik.
Incidentally, Mandela didn't die until 2013, and guess what? When he was in the hospital nearing the end of his life, this exact storyline started flying around online again.
What a shock.
That black South Africans were going to kill all the white people after Mandela died. Weirdly, or not weirdly at all, the comments on Stormfront about this clearly made-up article meant to inflame racists have a lot of thematic parallels to Alex's rhetoric. A lot of talk about how the media would cover up the slaughter because it was against white people. Kind of makes you think how close Alex and Stormfront really are.
So close.
Yeah.
So close.
Very, a lot of, you could jump from one to the other fairly easily.
Almost like they're an extreme version that he sort of allows to be filtered through his slightly less extreme appearance.
Yeah, almost they don't have a business to protect.
Yeah. Strange.
Mm-hmm.
Strange.
So Alex takes a number of calls. He's got that weird border vigilante who's coming on, and Paul Joseph Watson's going to show up, but, I mean, who cares about Paul? But he takes some calls, and this caller has an interesting question, especially considering on a recent 2004 episode, we heard a caller ask Alex what the military-industrial complex was.
Right.
And he whiffed.
Unable to understand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so here someone asks, what's the deal with the military-industrial complex attacking the white man?
Yeah, sure.
All right, let's go to your calls. Brock in Canada, welcome.
Hello, Alex.
How you doing?
Good, thanks. I was going to ask you if you could encapsulate and explain the military-industrial complex and how it would relate to the banksters and these creeps that are targeting the white man and... you know, how it ties in and just what the grand scheme of things is.
Okay, let me answer that question in a nutshell.
Let's get to the nutshell.
I am interested in the nutshell.
So we've got banksters and creeps attacking the white man.
Sure.
And a connection to the military-industrial complex
that Alex
is going to nutshell for
us. Are banksters and creeps in the military-industrial complex, or are they just allies in the attack against the white man?
I think they're on the side. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Here's the nutshell.
All right.
Okay, let me answer that question in a nutshell. The globalists aren't just targeting the white man, they're targeting humanity. The Romans, 2,500 years ago, learned how to put the Greeks in one district, the Romans in another.
We didn't invent segregation.
They learned how to you know, they'd have a Jewish quarter, and they would foster the groups hating each other and fighting with each other. The globalists will play off Catholic against Protestant, Protestant against Catholic in Northern Ireland, and they will carry out terror on both sides. They've been caught doing it. So then the British can come in and militarize and take control. In Africa, the UN will play one black tribe off against another. Or more ideally, they will play blacks off against whites, whites off against blacks.
This is a bad answer to the question that was asked and a bad answer in general. It's completely dishonest in terms of Alex's true positions, and it's just factually inaccurate.
Yeah.
The caller was asking about the military-industrial complex and the banks, not about some city planning from ancient Rome. This caller wants Alex to talk about how the Jews are the ones who are behind the New World Order and the attack on whites. It's pretty obvious.
Banksters.
Yeah, and creeps.
And creeps, yeah.
And I suspect even Alex gets that, hence the dancing around the different topic and hoping that this distraction works. And it does. He doesn't go back to the caller at all. It just moves along.
Nice.
To the other issues, those examples he's listing aren't cases of globalists playing one side off against the other. They're cases where there were real atrocities carried out by two groups of people who had deep disagreements with each other, and they're cases where many people in the rest of the world looked on and failed to act in a way that would have helped avoid the severest outcomes. Alex doesn't care about the idea of globalists playing groups off against each other. You can tell that because you tell that's the case because the only time he ever talks about how the globalists are playing white people and black people against each other is when he's deep into racist territory and wants to reassure himself that his positions aren't comically racist.
Yeah.
Alex is sincerely reporting on this episode that black people in South Africa have a plan to kill all the white people when Mandela dies, and he's yearning for the better years when Zimbabwe was under an apartheid government ruled by the 3% of the population that was white. He doesn't give a fuck about two sides being played off against each other. It's delusional.
Yeah. I mean, especially since we return once more to the globalists are doing it. Now, obviously, if I were in control, I would do the exact same thing. That's the way you get all that power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it makes perfect sense that they would do that.
Right.
It doesn't make perfect sense that they would do that because they don't exist. The only person who does that.
When I was 14, I came up with a plot to rule the world.
Yeah, exactly. You might as well have said that.
Based on comic books and skimming history books.
Here's what I'll do. I'll play two groups off of each other. Okay. Mm-hmm. Good work.
And now I have proven that everyone is doing that.
Yeah.
So a caller calls in and asks, this is interesting, because we know that Alex sells gold.
Mm.
And he's a big fan of selling gold.
He sells gold.
It is the ultimate store of value. It is where the globalists can't touch you.
Sure.
You get that gold and you're good, baby.
Currencies fail, but gold never fails.
Right. So a caller calls in and asks about how there have been gold price-fixing schemes in the past. And here's Alex's answer to that.
I see also on the GCN network, they were talking about gold and stuff. However, I'm starting to do research on it, and even that's not exactly safe, because it's like there was a report about there was a gold price fixing scheme by the JP Morgan Group. And so it's like, even gold's not safe anymore, which is kind of scary.
Yeah, let me answer your question. Thanks for the call. Nothing's safe. You know, why should you own a house? It could get burned down. Why should you ever have children? Something bad might happen to them. Why should you go on living? You could die in a car wreck tomorrow.
Yeah. Why live?
We are getting some all-time classic rebuttals here. These are the most nonsensical responses I think I could think of.
But it's because there isn't an answer.
No.
Yeah.
No.
It's because this undercuts most the narratives that he pitches about gold. It's like, well, if the prices can be manipulated and all that, how is this any different than like a fiat currency that you complain about all the time? Hey, why live? You might die.
So funny. That's so funny. Nothing is safe.
Yeah. Cool, man. Thanks.
I honestly like that answer more than any answer he's given about anything. I wish he should have just put a period on that and then moved on to the next question.
Yeah. In some ways he did.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
So we get some more calls, and this person is calling in asking about the two-child limit.
Sure, the one that exists.
Yes, yes, definitely.
Let's talk to Stacy in Delaware. Stacy, go ahead.
Hi, Alex. How are you?
Good.
I had a question about the bill that you were talking about, trying to control the amount of children that people are able to have.
Yeah, that's Washington State.
Okay. What are they proposing to do after these people have two children? Are they going to sterilize them or make them take a pill or something? I mean, what are they proposing?
Well, Washington State is at the forefront of eugenics.
Mm-hmm.
And over 400,000+ women, it's between 400,000 and 500,000, no one's sure, were sterilized from the 1930s up until 1985. And we've had some of these women on. It's been in the news. Normally, if you were a single-parent mother, black, white, it didn't matter, and your child made under a B+, they would send CPS to your house, they would grab you, they would kidnap your daughter, and they would take her and have medical students cut her uterus out. Now, folks, if you don't believe me, you just have been hiding under a rock. This is mainstream.
Whoa.
Okay. Nothing is safe.
Yeah. Just to let you know, it took forever to track down this article because, much like a ton of the stupid shit that they've published over the years, the article about this two-child limit, it's not on WorldNet Daily anymore.
Yeah.
That's where it comes from.
What a great place that embarrassingly deletes all of its articles from the past.
Yeah, when it's like, oh, this would be humiliating to have reported.
Yeah, boy, the future is going to be mean to us on this one.
So I found someone reposting the text of this article on a Catholic message board, but mysteriously, it doesn't really exist anywhere else. There's no bill number listed in the article, and the person they said sponsored it, Marilyn Chase, doesn't have a bill that necessarily fits that description in her resume. In the 2003-2004 Washington House session, she sponsored 428 bills, and I looked through all of them, and what do you know? That's not there. And it would be kind of hilarious if it were. She's out here pushing bills about endorsing Dungeness crab fishing and some real Washington specific stuff, and then the next day she decides it's time to limit the number of children people can have.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Ah.
Anyway, after way too long of looking through bills about other things like fairy worker collective bargaining rights, I found the bill that they're talking about. It's titled, quote, Promoting Population Sustainability, and it's HB 3111 from the 2003-2004 legislative session. It was introduced on January 28th and was dead on arrival, ending up stalled permanently in the healthcare subcommittee. This was a proposed amendment to RCW 43.70.130, which is a section of the Washington legal code that lays out the responsibilities of the Secretary of Health. This bill would have added a 12th item to the list that was, quote, develop and distribute a pamphlet or other educational material that emphasizes the benefits and importance of couples limiting themselves to two or fewer children to promote population sustainability. Alex is doing a hell of a job sensationalizing this proposed initiative that would have no enforcement mechanism at all and was dead in committee by the time he's on air.
Wow.
Very, very proud of him.
Wow.
Yep.
I mean, you know, there's a part of me that says, that's stupid. And then there's a part of me that says, what we should do, what we should have done so long ago, is overreact insanely to even the slightest bit of thing. You know, because if you hear Alex Jones do this just on the, like, maybe give a pamphlet to somebody, what next step are you ever going to take? You know what I'm saying?
True,
like,
true.
This is a...
I get what you're saying, and I think that there's something to that.
Yeah.
I think that people overreacting on the other side of things might balance the equation, but it would be equally bullshit.
Yeah, no, it would be equally bullshit. But the current situation where they overreact and then the other side backs down and goes, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
That one's not working either.
You're right. I'm not sure that the solution is fire with fire.
No,
whatever,
I mean, I'm not saying that.
But you are right. It is an unsustainable status quo the way things are. Yeah.
Let's give them whatever they want because they whine a lot.
Now, in this specific case, though, I kind of do think that this proposed amendment was stupid.
Yeah.
But the only reason I think it's stupid is because if you look at the other 11 items on the Secretary of Health's responsibilities that exist in the Washington Legal Code, they're pretty broad things. This is way too specific to be something that's in there.
Yeah.
It doesn't fit with the, like, I don't think it's necessarily a horrible thing to, like, have as, like, an idea. Like, hey, you know, maybe I don't know.
It seems like that's more in the employee handbook than it is in the law. You know, like,
right.
Here's what we do when you go to work. Sometimes you make a pamphlet. Like, that's fine. I totally get that.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't codify into law, you must pamphlet.
Yeah. Well, but yeah. Develop and distribute.
Yeah.
A pamphlet.
It's just a job.
I don't fully know if, you know, it actually is better for everybody if you have two or fewer kids. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I haven't done the research on that, so I can't speak to it.
Yeah.
But...
Well, China did it for a long time, and then they stopped. Well, I don't know what that means.
That was one.
Yeah.
This is double.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think I find it weird a little bit.
Yeah.
Not in the same way that Alex finds it weird. But even beyond the weirdness, I think it doesn't belong in that set of 12 things there. So that probably has something to do with why it was dead on arrival and never went anywhere.
Yeah.
Strange. Definitely not what Alex is talking about.
No.
But also has no effect on reality.
Yeah.
Also, it's important to note how Alex is talking about these things like sterilization and eugenics that did go on in America, but he's talking about them in a cartoonish way. There were horrible things that were done to people, but saying that if you got under a B+, that CPS would show up and steal your uterus is just stupid.
Yeah.
And what you're doing there is you're giving the audience like a diet of false information about real things that disenable them. You can't deal with reality on its own terms.
Right.
You'll never be able to see the trends that did exist within the eugenics that went on in America that did have racial components to it, that did have class components to it. That will not be available to you to analyze, to understand, to put into your view of how the world exists.
No,
because you just can be like, oh, they got under a B+, the globalists took the uterus.
No, I was thinking the same thing. Like, it is very much a by exaggerating and transposing the reality of what the victims endured and giving it to white people for no reason other than so they don't have to deal with what the government's forebears did to all of these people, and then paralyze them to keep them from feeling like they need to do anything at all.
Mm-hmm.
There's no need to rectify these horrible crimes if they're still going on and now they're only happening to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, it's disempowering in a malicious way.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So, speaking of maliciousness, this next or this same caller has another question for Alex, and this is a about 3 minutes of a clip, but I wanted this to exist in its full context because I think what Alex is doing here is just monstrous.
Okay.
Do they have any other ways of doing this with these women or children besides just cutting out the uterus, like maybe cancer or anything like that?
I was telling you what they did 25 years ago.
Right. Well, the reason why I'm asking is because I've always been suspicious about this. Is I'm now 26 years old. The first time I had ovarian cancer, I was 19. They said I had probably had it since puberty. Okay. 2 years later, I got it again while I was pregnant with my son. Then I had to have a full hysterectomy while having my son premature and everything. Now I can have no children. My mother was well on welfare. Have three children, you know, none of us, I mean, my brother, you know, he was always in trouble with the law. My sister's
got
all
time. Did you have all the vaccines?
Oh, yes. All the vaccines and everything. I mean, CPS had come to our house, I don't know how many times because of all the issues going on in our household and so forth. But, I mean, I'm just thinking, is this something maybe that they're doing? Because now you look at...
Well, Stacey, thanks for the call. Let me answer your question.
Oh, no.
6 years ago, the United Nations was caught in over 130 third world countries with over 100 manufacturers. That was the payoff to the countries to do it. The UN would pay their government to manufacture the vaccine according to their specifications, tell them what company to hire to do it. That's how they did the payoff to the politicians. They caught them in the tetanus shot in a UN program just for women because, quote, you know, we're liberal. We care about the women. The boys don't get the tetanus shot. No, no. The girls, we're giving you something, women. And they caught them adding a very expensive synthetic female hormone that had been bound to the tetanus pathogen.
Oh, my God.
And so when the body created an autoimmune response to the tetanus, it would also create an autoimmune response to that hormone that was released during pregnancy. And it would attack the different glands in the female reproductive system and would develop polyps, generally benign, but in some cases malignant, on the ovaries and uterus and cause other problems. So, yes, yes, yes. I don't know if that's the case with you.
Fuck you.
But a lot of these autoimmune diseases they found with the troops and in other cases, they're putting very high-tech bioweapons that implant cancer, DNA, and other things into the population.
So what kind of a message are you supposed to get if you're that caller when Alex says, yes, yes, yes? I don't know if that's the case with you.
I mean,
obviously you're supposed to come away with the yes.
Yeah.
Is the answer.
Yeah.
Yes, the globalists did this.
Yeah.
That's fucking horrible what he's doing to her.
Yep.
He's essentially recontextualizing her life for her and backing up this bullshit with supposed authority and a wealth of knowledge that doesn't exist. If she believes him, her life and all her difficulties, they weren't just things that happened. Like, you know, these things like being born into a dysfunctional family or getting cancer. They weren't just random. They were attacks that were carried out by the globalists. Instead of celebrating how resilient she must be to have gone through all that she has or empathizing with her, Alex is making her a victim of his imaginary enemies. And he won't think about her again for a single second. But she's still alive when that phone call ends, and she trusts Alex enough to call in and ask a question like this, so it seems like she might trust him enough to take this answer seriously, which is grim. He's fucking with people.
I mean... That is him telling her, because clearly her concern, her storyline that she is afraid of, is that she was given cancer as a child because she came from a broken home. The medical system wanted to erase her.
Yeah.
Then she survived that and got cancer again when she was pregnant. So now the medical system doesn't just want to erase her. It wants to erase her and her child.
Yeah, and her ability to reproduce.
Reproduce. And then all of this, like, comes down to you can never, ever trust a doctor or
anything. Well,
and the chances of her getting cancer again are astronomically higher compared to anybody else.
Yep.
You know, and it is so much like There is a world where she refuses to go to the doctor for her treatments.
Yep.
Despite the onset of cancer again. And I mean,
or imagine the like compounded risk of other people listening to this
totally.
Who internalize that message and don't want to go see
totally.
Appropriate healthcare. It's an incredibly dangerous and
I mean,
I don't know. Psychopathic.
I just can't
instincts.
Believe like this if they had not intervened, she would have died.
Most likely.
So would her child.
Yeah.
You know, like they, oh God, that's so fucked.
Yep.
That's so fucking awful.
Yeah. And it's like Alex writing her story for her.
Yeah.
And it's a story that only serves Alex's interests
mm-hmm.
and makes her like just a, like, I don't understand. I feel like, if I were in her position, I would be far more hurt at the end of that call than yeah. at the beginning of it.
Yeah.
Because I had just gotten a like confirmation of, like you were saying, the worst fear
that anyone could possibly have is yeah. literally the entire government is trying to erase you from existence.
Individually. Yeah.
By yourself. Like Will Smith, an enemy of the state.
Yeah. The rest of what Alex is saying is just nonsense, anti-vax shit that he's half remembering and lying about.
Yeah.
The tetanus vaccine is largely given to pregnant people in the developing world because they're the ones who are most at risk, and the immunity is passed on to the child. Neonatal tetanus was a very serious risk factor in infant death, so it's why historically it's given to women or pregnant people. It doesn't have this expensive hormone that causes miscarriages in it. That was a claim that was made by anti-vax folks about the tetanus vaccine, but it's nonsense. They claim that the tetanus vaccine has HCG in it and that it was given to pregnant people so that their bodies would learn to attack the HCG, which is a hormone related to pregnancy, thereby making them unable to have children. In reality, what they're doing is lying about a different birth control vaccine that was tested but never released, where tetanus was used as a carrier for HCG. It's the right. reverse of this.
Right.
They're conflating that stuff altogether. I'm pretty sure we've talked about this in the past, so I'm not going to dive too deeply into it again, but Alex is essentially pretending to care about people in the developing world by yelling about these imaginary vaccine concerns, when in reality, all he's doing is putting more people at risk.
Yeah.
So many kids die from neonatal tetanus, and it's entirely avoidable if people just take the vaccine, which is what Alex wants them not to do. In 2000, approximately 170,000 children died of neonatal tetanus, compared to just over 14,000 in 2019. And that's what Alex wants to undo.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, just...
I mean...
That take that for what it's worth.
Yeah, what do you say other than this is a man like telling you to close your eyes while you're driving your car?
Mm.
You know, just like... Hey, listen, I'm not telling you to kill yourself. I am telling you to close your eyes and drive your car at 100 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not telling you to do anything.
And
I'm just saying
the people who tell you not to do that just don't want you to the freedom
yeah, and
to do it.
They're the ones who are trying to kill babies.
And they're the ones who know all about the joys of driving
totally.
With your eyes closed.
If they're the ones who enjoy it the most.
Yeah.
Every time that you see them driving, their eyes are closed. They're going 100.
Right.
Yeah.
They're trying to keep it from you.
Happiest people in the world. Ben Gazzara in Roadhouse.
So here's where Alex is at about his performance today.
Yeah, okay.
We got two guests, loaded phones. I've covered 10% of the news, and I've done a good job this first hour. I did cover a lot of what I wanted to get to. There's so much coming up. Just stay with us.
Yeah, he's done a good job. He's not done a good job.
It's just a bit, you know, sometimes when you've done a good job, you need to pat yourself on the back,
mm-hmm.
you know? And there's nobody there to walk on, be like, hey, man, you're crushing it today.
Killing it.
Yep. Today is your best work.
You're killing it. And by it, I mean your listeners.
Yeah,
you're killing
exactly.
your listeners.
Yeah.
So this is the end of the first hour. And the second hour, Paul Joseph Watson comes on, and it is just nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. That guy does not have chops.
I can't believe he has had a career since then for longer.
Well, it's an incubation thing, you
Ugh.
Know? Like, he had some kind of nascent talent.
Sure.
And no one was really paying attention while he was on InfoWars. There's kind of like the open mic scene.
Sure, sure, sure.
That he's on, and he's definitely an open micer at this point.
Right.
And then I guess he grows through it. He figures out how to look snarky and
mm-hmm.
Like he's maybe about to cry and fast cuts and a YouTube video. And, you know, he made it work. But yeah, at this point, no one would have been interested in him. No. He is woof.
Brutal.
Woof. Yeesh. And so we're not going to listen to any of that.
Yay!
Then we get the ranch rescue guy.
Boo.
Corey Nethercott. And I found this very conflicting because I think this guy sucks. He's a monster. But he also went missing in 2017. And I feel weird about that. I don't want to talk too badly about him because he, I don't know. I'm conflicted. We can talk about a little bit of what was going on in 2004, but I'm not going to dwell
sometimes,
on it too much.
Sometimes your choices lead to a place.
But see, that's the thing. I don't know if that's true. I could be completely unrelated to anything about his life. The
sure.
going missing. He could
sure.
have. There are a million possibilities.
True, but
and it seems scary.
I will say this. When you are a person who illegally detains and kidnaps people, you have a higher risk of suddenly being disappeared from your car. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Yeah, it's possible, but I think that drifts a little too closely to some of the ideas that Alex would obviously have, which is that, oh, the Mexican government disappeared him because he was trying to stop their immigration flow.
Oh, I
or
never.
Or whatever.
Yeah, I
that
never
That would
considered
be the
that.
Conspiracy angle that,
right.
that someone like Alex would take on his disappearance. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, it the same thing kind of exists with the like, yeah, you're out there, you know, detaining people.
Sure.
Maybe you got detained.
I mean, I was thinking meth. That was my first
yeah.
thought.
Yeah. I mean, there is a heavy overlap. With
that was my first thought.
Well, I do think that some of his the way he's communicating doesn't seem sober.
Yeah.
Necessarily.
Yeah.
Not drunk or anything, but there is a little bit of a blah, blah, blah,
yeah.
blah.
Yeah, yeah,
not,
yeah.
I've seen some people on meth in my day from Missouri.
Sure.
So, like, I don't... It doesn't give me the same vibe as mm-hmm. that, but there's something up with him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, 2004 meth, that's not 2017 meth.
Right.
You know?
Walter White hadn't come
exactly.
around yet.
Exactly. Completely different shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this may be 2004 meth.
He's got the swag of meth.
back when you just got weed.
Mm-hmm. When you're picking the stems and seeds out of your meth.
Yeah, yep.
Right, I get you. So he's going to tell his side of the story here, and this is just bullshit.
Well, I was arrested in Hebronville, Texas, on the allegations of two male and a female illegal alien, said that I pistol whipped them. And I assure you, not only did I not pistol whip them, I was 25 feet from them when Ranch Rescue first contacted them. Ranch Rescue took them they were on private property, took them to the gate where to release them, gave them food, gave them water, gave them blankets, and told them to leave. While we had them at the gate, we called Border Patrol. They wouldn't come out. We called the sheriff, and they refused to come out. They said, we're not coming out. No, we're not doing it.
By the way, national French media was there throughout this. That's the only reason you're not in prison now.
Yes, sir. They took pictures of everything showing these people complete. They were treated, hell, they were treated better than we were down there, Alex.
Now these weren't Mexicans either.
Salvadorians. They were from El Salvador.
That's right. And then, please continue.
Well, what we did is we filmed everything. We have pictures showing that nobody hurt these people. We have videotapes showing nobody hurt these people. And we released them. As soon as they got into federal custody, somebody, and we'll guess who, said, we need to file a complaint for them pistol whipping you. And that's what happened. A few days later, myself and another member of Ranch Rescue went to the Dairy Queen to get burgers, and they swarmed on us, and they said, why did you beat those people? And we told them the truth, and we told them what happened, and nobody beat them.
And now Morris Dees is trying to take the property.
Well, let me tell you something about Morris Dees. I talked to him 2 days ago.
Morris Dees nuts.
He wants to deal. He wants to drop his lawsuit.
You need to sue him.
No, you need to do other things to him, Alex. Unfortunately,
oh
it's illegal, and I can't do it.
So Morris Dees and the SPLC gave legal help to
yeah.
the Salvadorians.
Sure.
That's what's going on here.
Yeah.
So this is not how things went.
No.
According to the court case, which Casey lost, the two Salvadorans were walking across a property on foot, at which point one of the members of the vigilante posse started chasing them, firing numerous gunshots and threatening to kill them. The vigilantes searched for the immigrants with a trained Rottweiler attack dog, which Casey allowed to attack one of the immigrants. Casey also hit one of them in the back of the head with his gun. The vigilantes held them at gunpoint, making them kneel on the ground and subjecting them to a lengthy interrogation. They were held for approximately 90 minutes before they let them go, but not before threatening to kill them again. Given the fact that this was a matter that appeared before the court, I'm going to take this account a little more seriously than the self-serving bullshit this guy who previously illegally detained high schoolers is telling Alex, and not proving any of it.
Yeah.
Because you'd really think that if a video of the entire thing was there, he wouldn't have lost his goddamn ranch.
No. No. That's how video evidence works. Whenever somebody is, they didn't have deepfakes back then either.
Perfectly exculpatory evidence.
So exculpatory.
Yeah.
They wouldn't let us put it into evidence because, admittedly, it was hand-drawn.
Hand-drawn video. It's
theoretically recreated. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it does have the Tom and Jerry kind of animation style to it.
Well, see, one of the things that's really interesting to me when I hear somebody have all this evidence.
Yeah.
And they're not presenting it.
Never.
It feels weird. And when that's a trend, it becomes even more weird.
Interesting.
We have tapes that are hidden that we can't show anybody. We've showed the Mexican military moving thousands of pounds of drugs down here. Nobody does anything.
Well wait. The Tombstone Tumbleweed has the footage of them with the containers and stuff.
I know, but we've got one better than that. We've got them where they come up to the fence and they say they'll kill us if we don't stop.
Well, why haven't you shown
Sounds
that?
True.
Well, are you there, Alex?
Yeah, we'll talk about it when we get back. Stay there.
Did he edit something out?
No, he just thought Alex wasn't there.
Oh, that's a fast well to...
I think he might have heard the music.
Gotcha.
That might have been what was
Could
confusing
be. Okay,
him.
Okay.
But yeah, so like, why don't you release that? Well...
You still there, Alex?
So Alex brought up the Tombstone Tumbleweed. You might remember that name.
Yeah.
That's the anti-immigrant rag that was distributed by Chris Simcox, who was on Alex's show on a 2004 episode we covered recently. You might remember him as the guy who's currently in jail for child sexual abuse charges.
Yeah.
Doing a 19 and a half year sentence. So cool.
Yeah, I really think that the first time you kidnap somebody should be your last time kidnapping somebody. That's not a three strikes law. I feel like that's not a three strikes thing.
No.
I feel like we should probably be a bit more aggressive in law enforcement after you kidnap somebody the first time.
Yeah, there's a part of me that feels like an act like kidnapping takes a certain resolve.
Exactly.
And it's not. I don't think somebody's first crime is going to be kidnapping, generally. I guess.
Kidnapping is not a gateway crime to like low-level burglary.
Anyway, I feel like, yeah, sure. Let's go ahead and not let people do multiple kidnappings.
Yeah, especially if that's the same guy who is like, hey, we should do more to that SPLC guy, but it's illegal, you know?
Yeah.
That guy's probably trouble.
Pretty weird. So the rest of this guy's interview is mostly just him complaining about stuff I don't believe.
Yeah. That sounds right.
So I don't know. I don't have a whole lot to go on there. Because like, also, it's the variety of like real personal life complaints that like are impossible to verify or disprove. So I find it very boring.
Yeah.
For him to be like, and then a cop said to me, you better sign here.
Yeah.
Why don't you become a snitch?
You know, I've always been of the opinion that if you are, say, a person who has a space that regularly experiences things that nobody else experiences, chances are you're not telling the truth.
Right.
Maybe there's a ranch in Arizona that has had illegal immigrants happen up across one time. I doubt the Mexican army and hordes of illegal immigrants are constantly walking across your land regular after day after day after day.
They've built a railroad
and
they are moving freight.
I mean, what are we doing here?
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
So we have one last clip, and it's Alex getting to some news rundown at the end of the show.
Sure.
And compare this to his present-day feelings.
Okay.
Challenger to Putin for Russian presidency is missing. One of Vladimir Putin's challengers in next month's presidential election is missing, and the police and security services announced today that they have begun a search for him. Every time there's an election in Russia, by the way, there's a bunch of bombings. And then Putin gets to say, give me your liberty for security. I've got to secretly arrest my competition, take over the media. And Putin's been caught publicly blowing stuff up.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Sounds real different than nowadays.
That seems pretty unforgivable.
Yeah, man.
Seems that's one of those things where it's like, no, you do not get forgiveness for those things.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's a lot of people who can have changes of heart. They can have, people can go from one ideology to another when they learn more. There's growth that's possible for people.
Totally.
But I think when you're like the ex head of the KGB who rises to
power
by doing false flag bombings and imprisoning your political enemies and you're still in power 20 something years later.
Yeah.
I think that maybe you haven't had a change of heart.
Don't think so.
I think Alex has just needed to shift the narrative because Putin is the kind of world leader that he wants.
Yeah. Yep.
So anyway, that's what's going on there. But in the past, Alex had a very different tone.
I mean, that's just one of those things, you know? I just don't think we should forgive world leaders for any of the choices they make.
I mean, if we were to redesign a slightly better society, I do think that responsibility should be much higher for people who accept positions of leadership.
Totally. Totally.
It should be like, yes, you are still a person. Yes, you still have rights, but you have decided that you want to undertake the very difficult job of leading a country.
Yep.
And what comes with that, you're not going to like it.
More responsibilities.
Yes.
A higher ethical standard, not a lower ethical standard, which somehow is what we have now.
Yeah, there's like almost a feeling of like, you know, it's hard to lead a country. Cut them some slack.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be that way.
No.
But anyway, we come to the end of this, and it was racist as hell.
Yep.
And I don't know, not necessarily the way I'd like to spend my birthday, but, you know, you can't always get what you want.
Yeah, it's true.
So we'll be back on Wednesday, maybe with a modern day episode, or maybe I was just looking at Twitter while I was playing that last clip.
Uh-huh.
And as we're recording, it was just announced that Tucker Carlson has left Fox.
What?
Yeah. The most important man in the world is now
a
free agent.
Oh, shit.
So maybe this.
InfoWars 2.0.
Yes.
We're transferring ownership.
No way.
No.
Tucker needs something to do, and Alex would be an albatross around his neck. There is no chance. But, you know, outside of Fox, maybe he would be more prone to work with him or have him on something.
Yep.
So who knows? Anyway,
if
there's value in it for him, maybe he would do that.
Holy shit.
So we'll see how the fallout of that is. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, we're recording this before Alex does his Monday show.
Yeah.
So the Monday show may be entirely about about Tucker going rogue.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, we'll find out how all these pieces
we will
figure out. But until then, Jordan, we have a website.
Indeed we do. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep. We're also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's at knowledge_fight.
Yep. We'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark.
And now here comes the sex robots.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.